All right. First of all, I want to read to you this section of scripture, this parable that we're talking about today. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that you, when you fall or fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, when I read this the first time, I thought, I can't believe this is the parable I got, because it was so hard to me to get the grasp of what was happening. And I was studying a little bit this week, and Pastor Howard came in my office, and I said, I have to ask you about this. And I told him the parable, and he looked at me, and he said, boy, that's a really hard one. I've never taught that. And I thought, I said, well, Howard, they didn't give me a choice. It's not like I could choose to teach a different parable. But that was his response. So he left and went merrily on his way. However, he did come back and brought me Pastor Chuck's study Bible, which was a help and was very sweet of him to do. So as I look at the overall picture, I think it's very interesting that Jesus told this story and he used the world to teach us what's the right thing to do. And I think that in the parable, it says that the unjust steward was very smart. In one of the translations I read, said he was very smart. And sometimes we are not as believers. And so we have to learn, even from this parable of an unjust person, what's the right thing to do in God's picture, in God's perspective. So the first thing I did, and you'll laugh at this because who would need to do this? I looked up the definition of God, because the end says you cannot serve God and mammon. And this is what I found. Supreme being, creator and sustainer of the universe, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, omnibenevolent. Those are the definitions I found for God. And then I looked up mammon. Material wealth and the greed thereof. It is not wrong to have a lot of money. It's the greed thereof that causes us the problem. And you don't have to be rich to be greedy. That's not the issue. The issue is the issue of the heart. Wealth and riches, possessions, that in which one person places his trust, gluttony and worldly gain. That's the definition of mammon. So it says very clearly, you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. And that took me to a scripture in Matthew. Matthew 6, 19 to 21 and 24. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. And again, you cannot serve God and mammon. That took me to another scripture that says, it's in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James 1:8. It is our responsibility to focus on what is the most important issue. It's not possible to focus on two things. Now, I was an elementary school teacher for 5 years. I was young then, and I could do more than one thing at once. I could talk to a child, I could write on the board, I could even give the child the proper answer. But now that I'm a little older, I can't do that. And I find in life, we cannot be double-minded. We cannot try to do two things and come out doing any one well. We have to be focused. What is it that splits your focus? Think about it. What is it, no matter what it might be, what is it that splits your focus? What draws your attention from the main thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified? What is it that pulls your thinking away from Jesus? John Corson said that we must keep the main thing the main thing. We have a tendency to keep the main thing for 5 minutes, and then we get distracted by other things that are not the main thing. And it is our responsibility as believers to keep Jesus Christ and Him crucified at the center of our lives. I want to read you the whole section from James that I just quoted, the thing about double-mindedness. It's James 1, 2 to 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, let me just say that is a difficult thing to do. I do not jump up and down when I'm in a trial. And you know, I don't think God expects that. But we have to understand that it is the trials that cause us to draw closer to Jesus, that help us to keep the main thing, the main thing. So, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God is so gracious to give us instruction as to how to be at peace. I don't know how many of you know Lois Shropshire, but she comes here to our church, and she's 86. And we got a call at the beginning of the week that she had a stroke. And Howard went to visit her, and he came back, and he said, I just don't know if she's going to make it this time. And her daughter-in-law came in and talked to me for a long time yesterday, and she said, well, first of all, I told her the story. Her grandson is in my class on a Wednesday night, and he said to me, can we pray for my grandma? I don't think she's going to make it. And I said, well, of course we can, but let me tell you something. I've known your grandmother for 40 years, and she's going to be with Jesus, and she is going to be happy to be there. And he got this big smile on his face. And we prayed, and we spent some time praying for some other people. And one of the little boys, after the prayer time was over, when we were having snacks, came up to that little boy, put his hand on his shoulder, and said, are you sure she needs to die? You know, God can do anything. And I was so blessed by that. I didn't say a word that would have caused one child to minister to another child that way. But we need to recognize what's important. The important thing is that we touch each other's lives and we help people to see Jesus. And we have a lot of options with what we do. You have a lot of, what is it, gifts available to each one of you. I don't know what they are. Sometimes I don't even know what mine are. But you have resources. And God wants to use them for his purposes. He wants to use you to draw people to see him. When a child's grandmother is dying, I'm sure it must be very hard for him to see that God is in control. And yet another child went to him and said, it's okay. She could be healed, but God is in control. He can do anything. That's a resource that we have to give to other people. And we must choose the right thing to give to people at the right time. And God is the only one who can tell us and let us know, what do I do with this that is for your kingdom, not for my own benefit? The servant in this parable, all he cared about was himself. He said, I'm too old to dig and I'm too proud to beg. So I need to figure out a way to make this thing work because I'm losing my job, my house. I'm losing everything I have. So he figured out a way, an unjust way. But that was his lifestyle. That was how he did things. And he was commended by the man he was stealing from for making a way for himself. Well, when we stand before God, we're going to have to give an account of everything that we had available to us. I want him to say to me, well done. You made the right choices because you listened to me. Because I know if I listen to myself, I'm not going to do it right. So we have to learn at every turn to listen to him. The unfaithful steward was fired in a minute, and he was commended for his choice later. Money takes up a great deal of time and effort in our world today. You can't live without it. It's not possible. We have to deal with money. Whether we have a lot of it or whether we have a little of it, we have to deal with it. And so, the average American adult male spends 50% of his time dealing with money or money-related matters. So don't get so mad at your husbands when they get upset about the money. It takes half their life to deal with it. And we have to make the choice, what do I do with what I have? We can choose to squander it. We can choose to make ourselves happy with it. Remember, that only lasts a short time, because when the car gets dented, all of a sudden you aren't so happy anymore. If you earn just $15,000 a year, which is a very, very small wage, by the time you've worked from the time you're 20 to the time you're 60, $500,000 has run through your hands. So even at a small wage, we have a lot of responsibility. And I'm not saying not to plan. On the contrary, I'm saying you need to plan. You need to know what God's plan is for what you have. And we can't discount in this overview, we cannot discount time. Because you may not have a lot of possessions, and you may not have a lot of money to decide what you're going to do with. Now, that doesn't make it any less important what you do with it, just because you don't have a lot. It's still important what you choose, and you need to ask the Lord what the right thing is to do with what he's given you. But everybody has 24 hours in a day, and what you do with it, you are accountable to God. How you use that time, he gives it to you. He can take it away in a heartbeat. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We don't have that guarantee. So what we do today with the time that God's given us is the essential thing. And unless we keep the main thing, we will get drawn into many, many things that are not serving God's purposes for us. He gave his life that we could live for him, that we could live with him forever, and that we could live for him now. And so don't discount any of the time you have or any of the resources you have, because it is essential that we do with those things what God would have us do. We have to keep our focus on him. And I know that any one of you could tell me of reasons why your focus gets gone, why you don't have the focus you should. And some of them come on you from behind and you don't even realize it's happening. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, I haven't asked the Lord about anything for several days. I've done my own thing. And all of a sudden we're sucked back into that, I can't dig and I can't beg, so I got to figure things out for me. And so we don't want to be there. We want to let God figure things out for us. I learned a thing when I was in college. I don't even know where I found it. It is not scripture, so don't take it as such. But it says, make the most of each moment and each hour, and you will look forward with anticipation and back without regret. Doing that moment by moment in the eyes of the Lord before him, you will have no anxiety. You'll have no reason to have any anxiety, because everything you do will be guided by his hand, and you won't have to regret what happened in the past, and you can look forward to what he's going to do next, because he's always going to do something wonderful. I want to read another scripture to you. It's 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 10. This is from the New Living Translation. Yet true godliness is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. So, if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered far from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. We have to keep our focus on Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the thing I always talk to my kids about on Wednesday night, when I talk about Jesus being crucified, I always say, but what happened 3 days later? He's not dead. He's alive. He is alive only because he's God. If I give my life for someone, it's over. He was God, so he was crucified, but he was raised from the dead to eternal life so that we can be drawn close to him. It's a perfect plan. And when we lose our focus, we miss out on some of the things he might have for us. I was so excited when I read this scripture this morning that I'm going to end with, but I don't know how many of you were here a couple Sundays ago, and Malcolm spoke from Haggai verses chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. I want to remind you about that scripture, because the last scripture, I was just so delighted when I saw it. It says, Haggai 1, 3 to 6 says, "Then the word of God came by Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple be in ruins? Now, therefore, consider your ways.'" They had misused the money. They spent it all on themselves, and the temple was in ruins. "So now, therefore, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages..." I can't read my writing. "The wages are put into bags with holes." So this whole life is futile. It brings about nothing. Now, listen to this. This is Luke 12, 29 to 31. The same verses I read to begin with, but I want to read this from the New Living Translation. "And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind, for all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows you need these things, but seek first the kingdom of God." There's your focus. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. "So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes." And I was so excited because I remember what Malcolm read, and I thought, we have purses that don't have holes, and we spend our time looking at purses that do. Leave the world to the world. Focus on Jesus Christ, and you will have purses with no holes, because everything that God has for us is perfect. And I was so excited. I could hardly stand it, and I didn't have anybody there to tell. So I got to tell you guys first. And it says, "Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." Keep the main thing, the main thing. We have a goal that is so much further than just this world, and God wants to make it the absolute best. Sometimes I don't want to be here anymore. I think about people sometimes, they die, and I think, wow, I kind of wish that was me. So when I die, don't cry for me. And that's not always how I feel, but sometimes I get tired, and I get tired of fighting. It's a battle we're in between Satan and God loves us so much, and Satan hates God, and so he's going to do everything he can, but don't listen to his lies. Keep the main thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead. "And the purses of heaven never get old and develop holes." Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have a plan that far exceeds anything we could ever dream about. and you're getting it all ready so you can take us to be with you. Lord, help us to live as would please you, and help us to keep your mind and your heart and you as the main thing. In Jesus' name, amen.